Our reading this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 21 to 29, and you can find this on page 972 of the Bibles in the pews. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?" Then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, we want to see you more clearly. We want to get to know you more dearly. Show us, Lord Jesus, what do you want us to offer to you this morning that will draw us closer to you and deepen our relationship with you. And we ask this for your sovereign name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. First of all, an apology for the housing stock. Probably built by Bodgett and Scarpa. But nevertheless, we all, I'm sure, in this room live in a house, not a tent. If somebody was to ask us the question, "Will you talk about the house you live in?" what would we say to the person asked the question? Would we talk about the shell structure? Is it brick? Is it rendered? Stonework, boarded. What about the roof? Are they tiles or slates or whatever? What about the framework? What about the painting? Is it National Trust green? How would we describe it? What about the footings, the foundations of the house? The chances are none of us would know what was underneath our house. We have no idea what the builders have put in the ground to build the upper structure. And yet, it's key, it's vital, the foundation structure. Let's look at, first of all, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3. "But no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus." So if we were to build on Christ Jesus, what would take place? First of all, we build on the person of Jesus. Our foundation must be on the person of Jesus. Also, it must be on the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that combination produces a very strong and firm foundation. So what process is involved in us building our foundation on Jesus Christ? First of all, of course, we must lay down everything. We've got to give total dependence of our lives into his hands. It's so important. Obedience, yes, we need obedience. So it's a choice, obedience or disobedience. In the story, we have two conditions, a wise man and a foolish man. A Again, we come back to the wise man hears the words, but he doesn't put it into practice. That's the key. We need to not only hear the words, but also put it into practice. And the second part is, it's about two Christians. It's not about anybody in the street. The story is about two Christians. They may look like Christians. They had that smile. They may behave like Christians, whoever Christians behave. They may read scripture. Hope they read scripture. Their lives may be involved in house groups, fellowships, worship. But do both. Are they building their lives on Jesus Christ? Are they putting into practice what they're hearing? We move on to the verse 21 we looked at in Matthew. It starts off, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. A very strong word. In the New Testament, believe it or not, there are 684 commands. 684. Number one. I think we reduce it to five because... bear in mind, after the service, of course, Mark wants to share about the concept of changing the church around. It's a very good meeting, Mark's very good at this. Derek's very good. I encourage you all to go and listen to him. So I'm going to keep it short, so it allows you the time to go and listen to Mark. However, let's start. We know these very well. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door. The process is ask, seek, find. It's an active part on us. It's a command. Ask. Seek is a command. Find is a process. Number two. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers to his harvest field. That's about prayer. The Lord says, pray for the harvest. Pray for workers for the harvest. The Lord's using us. He could do it without using us, but he chooses to use us. Number three. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. About denying. Take up the cross, follow me daily. It's a challenge. Not necessarily easy. Number four. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart. As again, it's a command. You know, it's about an active part of life. And the next one, Rosemary. And you should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. An instruction, you must be born again. It's not a choice. Or it says, if you want to be in my kingdom, you must be born again. This is a conversation with Nicodemus. We don't have to remember necessarily the 684 commands, but they actually fall into six generic commands. And they are, repent and believe, which is confess, forsake, fear God, follow, be born again, all the things written up there. Repent and believe. Be baptized. I'm sure most of us in the room are baptized in the name of Jesus. To love. Huge area, love. A huge area. And pray. Great gift, prayer. For every stuck, pray. Communion, that's about sharing things together, of course, and making disciples. Jesus, of course, being a carpenter, would have understood very clearly how important the foundation was in the building of a house. If you go out the far side of Jerusalem towards Jericho, it's basically a desert and it goes downhill because Jericho, of course, is the lowest point. Way below sea level. And if you built a house on the desert out there and it rained hard, I think you'd find it and move 5 miles down the hill on sand. Let's look at what Luke says, Luke 6. He introduces another concept there about digging deep. He dug down deep to lay the foundations on rock. A lot of the commands we looked at, this 684, requires digging deeper. It's not necessarily superficial. We've got to invest. It is time consuming. But it's a vital part of building a relationship with the Lord. Digging deep. You know, we may have to go through sand and rubbish to get to the rock, or in soil, topsoil, clay, whatever it is, to get to the rock. But we need to find the rock of Jesus Christ to be able to build and have confidence in what we built. Okay. We could have, in today's society, we'd have apprenticeships in the outside world. And apprenticeships are like, or we could say, discipleship training, are all part and parcel of helping us understand and get into what the command's all about. And we can encourage one another. We can go to study groups to help each other. And encourage you, if you're not in a study group, it would be good news to sign up to one, because they're really, really helpful in helping each other dig deep to find this stuff. And also Paul talks about, well, we've got the Olympics coming up this year, about training for the Olympics. And Paul's referenced Dick. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, discipline, a commitment, a focus. You know, we need to be focused sometimes on what the Lord is saying to us to really get to where he wants us to be in all that. Then it's hearing the word that's important, and listening equally is actually relating to the person that's doing the speaking. And the only exception to the rule I know of are teenagers. If you shout up the stairs to the teenagers, "Will you get up?" They hear the word, but do they interact with the person doing the speaking? Do they put it into practice? I'm not knocking you teenagers, by the way. Let's look at what James says as well in James chapter 1. Do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. This is so key. We easily can hear and say, yeah, that's a good idea. It's a good idea, yeah. But to put it into practice, the Lord is saying, it's so important to build our lives by putting things into practice. In 1992, a hurricane went up through Florida. And, of course, it flattened everything in sight. Hurricane Andrew went straight through, flattened the lot. And in one particular area, there was, in an area that's been flattened, a house that was standing. Quite remarkable. So they decided to interview the guy on the house, and they said to him, "Why do you think your house is still standing when everything else is flat?" And he said, "Well, I built the house, and I used instructions issued by the Florida State Department. And they gave instructions that you could build a house they considered to be hurricane proof." And he said, "I built the house based on their specifications. So when they said you've got to use 6x2 timber in the roof, I used 6x2 timber. When you've got to build the footings like this, I built the footings like this." He said, "That's why the house, as far as I'm concerned, is standing. Because it's built to the specifications of somebody who knew better than me." And that's what the Lord is suggesting to us. So when we get to the end of the line, the Lord is saying to us quite clearly, it's not if, in the paragraphs, he says, not if the rain comes, or if the floods come up, or if the wind blows. He said the rain will come. The wind will blow, and the floods will come up. And he said, but I'm giving you the preparation you can make in your lives that you will be hurricane-proof. You'll be earthquake-proof in your life. So he wants to bless us by enabling us to put our lives onto something that's the most secure thing in all creation, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we want to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ right there, then I think he asks us today to say, where do you want to draw your line? Do you want to draw it in the sand, which is not stable, or do you want to draw on me, the rock of Jesus Christ. I think that's the challenge the Lord was saying to us today. He wants us afresh to say, oh, lay down everything on me and trust me in the storms of life, because I will see you through the other side. Amen.